Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Monday, January 31st, 2022. I'm Chance Miller. Leading off today, Apple last week released the first beta of macOS Monterey 12.3 with new features like Universal Control and Secure Notes in Safari's Password Manager. 9 to 5 Mac has also now discovered that this update prepares Apple's macOS for new technologies, with internal system files hinting at ultra-wideband support coming to the Mac. The latest beta version of macOS 12 includes the frameworks and the daemons, which are part of the system that runs in the background, needed to support ultra-wideband technology. These are the same tools that are already used to provide ultra-wideband technology on iOS devices with the U1 chip. For those unfamiliar, ultra-wideband technology is a short-range wireless communication protocol that is used for spatial awareness. So two or more ultra-wideband devices in the same room can precisely locate each other. The iPhone 11 in 2019 was the first Apple product with ultra-wideband inside, and Apple then expanded it to the Apple Watch, the HomePod Mini, and AirTags. Apple uses this technology for faster AirDrop, car key authentication, quicker AirPlay transfer, and the precise location feature for the Find My network. These benefits could be extended to the Mac if Apple does indeed bring the U1 chip to its computers. And while the evidence is there in macOS to suggest this could happen soon, we haven't yet heard any additional rumors about when or if Apple actually plans to bring the full ultra-wideband experience to the Mac. In other news today, during Apple's quarterly earnings call with investors and analysts last week, Apple CEO Tim Cook addressed the idea of the metaverse for the first time. In response to a question from Morgan Stanley analyst Katie Huberty, Cook explained that this is an area in which Apple sees a lot of potential. As it stands today, Tim Cook says that developers are offering over 14,000 applications on the App Store that use Apple's ARKit framework. According to Cook, these applications provide, quote, an incredible AR experience for millions of people today, end quote. But with that being said, he did elaborate that Apple sees a lot of potential in this space and is investing accordingly. He also explained that when it comes to deciding when Apple should enter a new market, it looks for an area that is at the intersection of hardware, software, and services. He didn't dive into specifics here, but he did say that there are multiple areas that have more than piqued Apple's interest. He noted that Apple has increased its research and development spending to even higher levels than before, and that there's quite a bit of investment going into things that aren't on the market at this point. Some important context here, however, is that reports have indicated that Apple's first AR and VR headset won't be focused on the so-called metaverse. Apple's focus instead is said to be on gaming, communication, and content consumption. So while it's easy to interpret Cook's comments during the earnings call as focused on the metaverse, it's more likely that he was actually referring to broader AR and VR experiences as a whole. The first AR/VR headset from Apple could launch as soon as this year, but most recently Bloomberg reported that Apple has hit speed bumps in the product's development, and a release could be delayed until 2023. Rounding out today, one of the best new features of iOS 15.4 is the ability to use Face ID with a mask. iOS 15.4 is available to developers and public beta users, and there are a few interesting tidbits worth noting. First and foremost, and unfortunately, this feature is limited to only newer model iPhones. Apple hasn't yet published specific availability details, but it appears that this feature only works on the iPhone 12 and newer. Apple explains that this technology is scanning the unique features around the eye area to authenticate you with Face ID while wearing a mask. Apparently, this is a more resource-intensive process than a traditional Face ID scan, so therefore Apple is limiting it to the iPhone 12 series and the iPhone 13 series. So if you have an iPhone 10, an iPhone 10s, or an iPhone 11, the only way you can use Face ID with a mask is by using the previously available Apple Watch Unlock feature. Another interesting tidbit about this feature is that unlike Apple Watch Unlock, this Face ID authentication works with Apple Pay and third-party applications. Because Face ID is performing an actual scan of that area around your eyes, users can authenticate with Apple Pay and even log in to third-party apps with Face ID enabled when wearing a mask. Again, this is something that's not possible with the Apple Watch Unlock feature for mask wearing. So 2 years into the pandemic, it's nice to see Apple still investing in the future of Face ID, even in a world where masks are still needed. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. As always, you can find all of the latest Apple news on 9to5mac.com. Follow along with me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller. And be sure to come back tomorrow for a new episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.